that would prohibit anyone from hearing this word, Father. I pray, Lord, that if we have ears, Lord, we would use them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, let me tell you a little story about whenever I was growing up. Most of you know I grew up in the home of a law enforcement officer. My dad was a New Mexico State Highway Patrolman, and he went into law enforcement, you know, whenever I was little tiny. I was just a toddler, and so for the most part, all I knew of him all of my life was, you know, he was in law enforcement. Now, whenever I was in the first grade, I was in a little community called Cuomato, New Mexico. Has anybody ever been there? Dalton. He barely got out of Macon County, much less go all the way to... Cuomato is this little tiny, tiny town. It's right on the border of New Mexico and Arizona. I have an idea that the population of Cuomato, probably about maybe 300 people. Very, very small place. My oldest brother graduated from high school there. He was so proud of himself because he made valedictorian, but there was only 6 people in his class. And the other 5 were not very smart, so I don't know what that says about him. But there came a time in my first grade class that my dad came to the school and visited the school. And you have to understand, you know, Cuomato, New Mexico, the only law enforcement in the whole town was my dad. It was it. Kind of like a Mayberry RFD kind of thing. Had a little tiny jail that had 2 cells, and I can remember being locked in there many times by my brothers, but there was a time in my life I could actually go between the bars. That time has since passed. But my dad came to school, and it was one of these days where, you know, the teachers had set all this up, and he was going to come and, you know, talk about law enforcement and so on and so forth. And I have to be very honest with you, I was so proud that that was my dad, you know. He came, and all the kids got to go in the car and look around. And, you know, I have to tell you, it's one of these old cars like Barney Fife used to drive. Had a big whip antenna on it and had one red light on the top and had one of them old sirens, you know, that goes instead of the new ones. And all the kids got to go in there and push on the siren button. And, you know, the amazing thing about it is I had already done all of that being his kid. I'd been all through his car. I had the opportunity to go home with this guy that was a cop that was, you know, kind of the pride of the school at that time. And that was back a long time ago whenever law enforcement were still looked at as being good people in our community. We should still look at them like that. There's a few of them that probably need to be going down the road, but the vast majority of people that are in law enforcement need to be honored and respected. Amen? But I can remember how that felt. You know, I was standing back. All these other kids thought it was so cool, you know, this. But he was my dad. I was proud of him. You know, I was proud of being a cop's kid. Now, I have to tell you a little bit later on in life, it wasn't so good. Because there was occasions that being a cop's kid wasn't such a good thing. Somebody had come to school and say, "Hey, your dad arrested my uncle's brother's sister's aunt's mother-in-law's daughter's son, and I'm going to beat you up for it." I took a couple of whippings because my dad had interfered in somebody's family. It was kind of nice every once in a while whenever I'd get stopped for speeding and they go, "Oh, you're so-and-so's son. I'm going to tell him. I'm not going to write you a ticket." And then they'd forget to tell him, and that was always awesome. It's kind of nice being his kid. You know that song we sang? That song is infectious. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. Wow. And I'm loved by him. Ooh, that's who I am. That's good. See, sometimes, folks, I really believe that there is a lot of misunderstanding as it comes to us being Christian men and women, us being children of God. I mean, the title of my message this morning is, "Who Are You?" And I imagine this morning if you were out on the street somewhere in Franklin, North Carolina, or wherever you might be, and somebody walked up to you and they ask you the question, "Who are you?" I imagine most of the time we would respond with our given name. Amen? I mean, if you didn't want to be known, you might respond with somebody else's name. Like if I'm out there, I might say, "I'm Derek Hayhurst. And I just accidentally hit your car." But we would respond with our name. But folks, I have to tell you, who we are goes much, much deeper than what our given name is. Y'all with me? Now, I've got a list here, and by no means is this a comprehensive, you know, all-inclusive list of all the things that the Bible calls Jesus. How many of y'all know he has way more names than just one? The Bible says that his name is actually Almighty. His name is actually the Alpha and the Omega. His name is actually the author of salvation, the beginning and the end, the bread of life, the chief cornerstone, the Christ, the creator, the deliverer, faithful and true, first and last, the great shepherd, the great high priest, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy one. I am King of the Jews, King of kings, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the mighty God, the morning star, the only begotten Son of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Peace, the resurrection and the life, righteous one, the rock, the root of David, the Savior, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High God, the stone the builders rejected, the true vine, the truth, the way, the wonderful counselor, the Word. I want to tell you something. This morning, Jesus is seated at the right hand of his Father. Y'all realize that? He's in heaven. Bible tells us that back a few years ago, he was standing on the Mount of Ascension, and he took off and he went up to heaven. And ever since, he's been seated at the right hand of his Father. And I'll tell you something about Jesus. He knows who he is. He absolutely knows who he is. I believe that there is a whole book, perhaps, that we could assimilate and write about the great and wonderful and magnificent, marvelous, majestic things that the Bible says about Jesus Christ. I mean, this morning I gave you maybe 30 or 40, but the list is well over 100 of all the things that Jesus is. But the thing I want to talk about this morning is not so much about who Jesus is, because Jesus has already got it figured out. He knows who he is. I want to talk about you and I. I want to talk about the majority of Christians that sometimes have the lowest opinion of themselves. Folks, I got to tell you, today in our society, I believe with everything in my body that there is a campaign out there that is crushing the self-esteem of so many individuals. So many people that are growing up damaged and bruised and broken. Hardly anybody says, man, I'm okay today and I can do it in Jesus' name. Now, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, he figured out who he was too. This is John chapter 1, where I had you go a few minutes ago. Go ahead and turn John chapter 1 and let's flip all the way to verse number 19. John the Baptist, now remember, he found out who he was. This is verse number 19. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, nope. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Now, think about this for a minute. What is John saying about himself here? He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Okay, now here's John the Baptist. He's figured out who he is. They ask him, he said, are you the Christ? Mm-mm, not him. You Elijah? Mm-mm, not him. You prophet? Nuh-uh. Who are you? The reason that John figured out who he was is because he read about himself in the Word. Come on. He found this about himself in the Word. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as what the prophet Isaiah had said. Hundreds of years before the birth of John the Baptist, God, through the prophet Isaiah, said, listen, there's going to come a guy that is a forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he's going to make his path straight. Are you with me? So John's out there in the wilderness, and he's doing what he's been called to do because he knows who he is. Amen? John didn't stammer around and go, I'm not sure who I am. He said, this is who I am. This is who I am. Folks, I have to tell you something. There's a tremendous amount of spiritual ignorance today about about our identity. There you go. Who we are. I am loved by Him. I can grab a hold of that one. That's who I am. I am loved of the Father. Man, I can grab a hold of it whenever it talks about Jesus in the Bible and it says He's the I Am. I can grab a hold of it whenever He says He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the stone that the builders rejected. I can get a hold of that. But whenever the Bible starts talking about me, whenever it starts talking about what my identity is, sometimes I have a little bit of problem. It's called spiritual ignorance. See, the fact of the matter is there's so many people that they could literally write everything that they can think of about themselves on a post-it note that's positive. I mean, what's positive about you? I mean, seriously, so many people could write just things about themselves that's positive on a post-it note, and they probably still on the other side of it have room enough for a grocery list. But folks, this is where we're at this morning. It is absolutely necessary to know Jesus and to have the wonderful revelation about who He is and what He's done. But if that is as far as you go, you've missed one of the greatest revelations of all, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Folks, we are more than what we look like in the mirror. Come on, man. I can get up next to the mirror. What I see is an aging, pretty much almost all gray-headed, overweight, bags under my eyes guy. But whenever I look in the mirror, that is only what is on the exterior. Something has happened on the inside of me, and I am more than what I look like. It's so easy for me to get a revelation about Jesus, man. He is the Son of the living God. And I get excited about that. But I am a son of the living God as well. Oh, but wait a minute. Jesus is a son of the living God. I'm a son of the... Remember, we're writing all the positive things about us on a piece of paper the size of a post-it note. Folks, we've got to understand, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. The crowning glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ is what He has, or what He is, and what we are becoming. Come on. In 1 John 4:17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Listen to what it's saying to us. As He is, so are we. As He is, so are we. Our identity with Jesus Christ is so intertwined and so interconnected with Him that He calls us His body. That's what He says. You're my body. I want to tell you something. We're pretty tangled up with Jesus if we are His body. Come on. We are tangled up with Him if we are His body. He says, in fact, go a little bit deeper than just we're His body. He says that we are flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone. Think about this. You know where that saying started, right? All the way back in Genesis, whenever Adam first opened his eyes and seen Eve. He says, hey, you're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Because there was a rib removed from Adam, and that's what God made Eve out of. You have to understand, folks, everything in the Old Testament is a picture of things to come. We came out of Jesus Christ, folks. Are you with me? He says, you're flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. He says, for we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. That's Ephesians 5:30. The point that I'm trying to make here is this. You have to have a revelation of yourself in Christ. We're not just Christians. We're not just Christians. We're not just Christians. We've got to get this revelation. We got to understand what revelation means. It means that we get it. Can you remember whenever you were in high school or grade school or wherever, and all of a sudden the teacher was explaining something to you that you hadn't understood yet, and all of a sudden they explained it in such a way that you go, bingo, I've got it, I can do it now. Whew. We got to have a revelation. And in order to get a revelation, I believe one of the things you've got to do is you have to have a revelation of not only who Jesus is, but also who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to see yourself in Christ. You have to see yourself identified with Christ, not only in his crucifixion, not only in his death and his burial, but folks, we have to identify him in his resurrection as well. Oh, I'm dead and I'm buried. Oh, that's all the bad stuff that's happened in the past. It's all been buried, and I understand that. I'm saved by walking through that process where the old man dies. But folks, the old man has been resurrected. I mean, the new man has been resurrected. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. You have to see yourself in that death and resurrection. But you also have to see him in that the death and burial, but you also have to see him in the resurrection life and the resurrection power. How many of y'all know that Jesus walked in power whenever he was resurrected? He walked in eternal life. In Colossians 2:12, it says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. In Ephesians 2:6, it says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is saying here in Ephesians, he said he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, I got to tell you something. I already have a place at the table in heaven. I'm seated there. Come on. It's not future tense. It's right now reality. I'm sitting there in Jesus' name. You go, but you haven't made it yet. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've made it. Because he that has begun a good work in me, he's going to finish it in Jesus' name. We've got to get a revelation of not only who Jesus is, but who we are in him. Second thing we need to do is you got to say what you see. Seen a video one time, this has been years ago, an America's Funniest Home Video, and this is back in the day whenever the video camera was just getting popular, and this couple had bought one, I guess, and this lady was trying to get this video camera to work, and I guess it was also showing up on the television screen, and she had this camera right in her face, and she was looking at it on the TV screen, and she said, oh, I'm so ugly. And it was hilarious watching her as she was seeing herself up close like that. I don't know about y'all, but I've looked in the mirror once or twice and said the same thing. Say, man, I'm glad I got married young. But see, once you start getting a revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, you start understanding that you are a child of God and all the things that go along with that, that you indeed are a child of the Most High God, then this is what you got to do. You got to say what it is you're seeing. You look in the mirror now, you probably say what you see. My eyebrows are out of control. That's a 3-inch hair growing out my ear. Oh my word, I'm getting gray. I'm getting bald. I've put on a few tons. You say what it is that you see right now. But whenever it comes to the Holy Spirit and him putting a revelation on the inside of you, whenever you begin to see who you are in Jesus Christ, I believe that it is absolutely imperative that you begin to say it. You begin to say it. The only thing that carries any weight in the spiritual realm is what you and I say as according to the Word of God. It's important what you think, because you eventually are going to speak what you think. So you got to begin to think, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the Most High God. I walk in His love. I walk in His power. I walk in His anointing. If I lay hands on the sick, they will recover, because that's what the Word of God says about me. Once you start thinking that kind of thing, it's going to start coming out of you. Thinking it is not enough. And so this morning, I got to ask you, who are you? What do you say about yourself? What is it that you're saying about yourself? Who are you? You see, the devil doesn't recognize you according to what God says about you. He recognizes you according to what you say about yourself. He already knows all the stuff God said about you. Let me just tell you something. Because of all the good things that God has said about you, that's why He hates you with a passion. He hates you. So that's not why He recognizes you. Whenever what God says about you begins to come out of your mouth in faith, that's whenever the devil begins to get real twitchy. You can talk about Jesus all day long. You can magnify Him. You can glorify Him. You can exalt Jesus. And we should. We should. Absolutely. We do. But that won't carry any weight with the devil. He already knows all these things about Jesus. The only thing that's going to make you a threat to the devil is whenever you recognize who you are in Jesus Christ, who you are in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to boldly declare it. It's who I am. This is who I am. And you say, well, I don't really understand that. Flip a few pages, if you would, backwards to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And I just got to show you something, because I read about John the Baptist, and they asked him who he was. And you see, John had discovered who he was through the Scriptures. And obviously the revelation of the Holy Spirit as he was reading those Scriptures. But we have to understand, John is listening to the book of Isaiah being read. And all of a sudden, that Scripture about one crying in the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit says, that's you. That's you, John. And so John went from that place, and he began to be that one who prepared the way of the Lord. Amen? But now I want you to think about this. This is Luke chapter 4. Flip to verse number 16. It says, so he came to Nazareth. This is Jesus. He's going back to his hometown. It's after he's been in the ministry. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. All right, now, this is what Jesus is doing. He goes in the synagogue. He reads the Scripture out of Isaiah. And everybody's looking at him like, I mean, man, there's a lot of silence in the room. He shuts the book, gives it to the attendant. He goes and he sits back down. And the last part of verse number 21, and he began to say to them, today, this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Whoa. What a declaration. Are y'all with me? I mean, what a declaration. Because you have to understand, everybody that was in that synagogue knew that he was reading a passage of Scripture that was all about the Messiah, the sent one from God. Are you with me? See, all of these prophetic words that every one of these Jewish people knew about the soon coming Messiah, Jesus sits down after he's read this Scripture and he basically says, guys, I'm Him. Today, in your hearing, this Scripture has been fulfilled. I am the one. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. Are you with me? He has anointed me to heal. He has anointed me to open blind eyes. That's what he's saying to him. See, the devil, he doesn't back off because you know who Jesus is. You got to know who you are. John the Baptist knew who he was because he read the scriptures. He got this in us, in himself. He said, man, I'm reading the scripture, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just confirms, you are the one that's crying in the wilderness, make way, prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus is hearing Isaiah read, as was his custom. Years before, he heard the book of Isaiah read, and the Holy Spirit says, you're him, you're the Messiah. The devil backs off whenever you and I know who Christ is in us. In us. And this book is full. It's absolutely chock full of those places where you and I discover who we are in Christ Jesus. We have to know who we are in Christ. And then we got to begin to say it with boldness and authority. Parents, you know how to do this. Kids, stop that. Stop that. Stop. Stop it now! Come on. Every parent in here can identify with that. You have to change the tone of your voice. You have to go a little bit deeper as octaves are concerned. You gotta have some gnashing of teeth. And all of a sudden your kid's head spin all the way around and they go, we have to quit what we're doing. Come on. There's a way to say things, and then there's a way to say it with boldness and a way to say it with authority. The devil has got away with a lot of stuff because he's convinced a lot of God's people that we should never say anything good about ourselves. I mean, to say something good about myself is bragging, isn't it? And man, you start bragging, the next thing's going to be pride. He's convinced many potential powerhouses for the cause of Jesus Christ that humility means you can't say anything good about yourself. Pride's not something that we say good about ourselves. It's about whenever we start boasting about ourselves falsely. Or to think or speak more highly of ourselves than we are. But we're not speaking about boasting in ourselves. We're talking about boasting in Christ. We're talking about boasting about what He's done on the inside of us. What He's done on the inside of us and what He's going to do through us by the power of His Holy Spirit. See, that's what it's all about. Whenever you stand and you say, I can heal the sick, because that's what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. He says, you go out and heal the sick. Yes. But if you say, I can heal the sick, folks, everybody, oh, no, you can't. No, you can't. Yes, you can. Because Christ is in you. I can cast out demons. No, oh, no, don't mess with demons, man. They'll bite your ears off. But the Holy Spirit in me. Are you following what I'm saying? We got to get bold about this. We can't all the time say, well, but it's God in us. No, it's God in us, yes. But folks, He has chosen us to be His choice vessel so it's that we can go out and we can do what the kingdom has called us to do. Every time that you acknowledge what Jesus Christ has done and who you are in Him, you see what that basically does is it gives glory to God. It gives honor to Jesus Christ. It gives joy to the Holy Spirit who is manifesting Jesus Christ through our lives even as we speak. Man, if we walk out and we say, man, let me tell you, I'm fixing to lay hands on you and you're going to be healed in the name of Jesus. He'll go, oh, that's boasting. That says, man, he feels way too much of himself there. But that gives glory to God whenever we step out and do that. I mean, Peter and John walking into the gate, beautiful. Look at us. Silver and gold, what I have, I don't have, but what I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. They did it because God put it in them to do it. In Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 it says, the communication of your faith becoming effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in your life in Christ Jesus. The acknowledging of every good thing that is in you because of Christ Jesus. Folks, we got to acknowledge that stuff that He's put in us, that He is in us. Your faith comes alive and it goes to work and it becomes effective whenever you give a voice to who you are in Christ Jesus. You look in the mirror and you go, you know something, you may be 50-something years old and you got a little bit of gray hair and you got bags under your eyes, but in Christ Jesus, hold on! Man, forget about what we are in Jesus. We could just talk about what we have in Jesus and spend a couple of days in front of the mirror. Folks, this is kind of it. Anything that God said about you in His Word, you can say it boldly. You can say it boldly. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I think God expects us to say it boldly. See, most of us in this room are not, we're not familiar with saying it boldly. Unless we're trying to get our kids or our spouses, our husband's attention. Oh, but it comes to sporting teams, sporting events, we can say it boldly then, can't we? Went to a football game one time, guy sitting behind us, break his legs! Break his legs! Knock his head off! Man, this is not Gladiator Rome, man. This is just a football game. Man, he was saying it boldly all night long. He just went over and over, break his legs! I didn't even think he had anything to drink. I think he was just that way. Bold means fearless, courageous, brave, nervy, audacious. That's what bold means. So if we're supposed to say it boldly, there's the definition of bold. So now the definition of say means to put into words and give verbal expression to. So God expects us to take what He has said about us in His Word and put it into fearless, brave, courageous, cheerful, audacious words and give verbal expressions to them. Y'all didn't hear that. God expects us to take what He said about us in His Word and put it into fearless, brave, courageous, cheerful, audacious words and give verbal expressions to them. That's what He expects us to do. Pastor, I'm just not really into this message this morning. Let me tell you something, folks. If we don't get into it, we're never going to achieve what it is God has for us. We're going to go through this life, and all that we are can be written down on a little post-it note as far as the positives. But whenever you add Jesus to our lives, you couldn't write the positive in all of the books that are in the Library of Congress, because He has made us more than conquerors. Are you with me? He has made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of the Most High God. His anointing is upon us. He has anointed me. Every one of us ought to get this passage in Isaiah and just read it. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to the brokenhearted to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's us now. That's us. God expects us to be fearless. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat of its fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's the Bible. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Folks, does that tell you how powerful our tongue is? Let me just give you a little footnote to this. Only what you boldly confess about yourself will you experience in life. Come on now. I mean, do you want to know one of the reasons why whenever we pray with someone and they get born again, brand new Christian, you want to know one of the reasons why we tell them to go out and tell somebody else what happened to you? I mean, that's one of the first things on the agenda is we want you to go find somebody and tell them what happened to you. And they go out, I got born again. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And obviously it's for that testimony to go out into their ears. But the second thing is so that we will begin to confess who we are. We're no longer children of the devil. We are children of the Most High God. So we instruct new believers to do it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you will be what you confess you are. If you say, I'm a loser, I'll never have anything, I'll never be able to pay my bills, I'm just never, you will have whatever it is you confess because there's power in your words. But if you make a decision to say, listen, I'm going to start talking about myself like God talks about myself. I'm going to start saying the things that He says about me, I'll tell you, your life will begin to turn around. You'll never be more than your confession. The only thing that carries any power in the spirit realm is what you boldly say about yourself. The only thing that the devil will acknowledge about you is what you boldly say. If you don't know who you are, nobody else is going to know who you are as well. If you don't know what you have, nobody else is going to know what you have either. Y'all with me? You see, Jesus expected that people would receive from Him because He knew the power of the Holy Ghost was in Him and upon Him. I said, Jesus shows up at the grave of Lazarus, you know, the tomb of Lazarus, his buddy that's died, and his sisters are just thrown into tizzy. And Jesus goes out and He prays a prayer prior to Lazarus being resurrected from the dead. But you realize that Jesus didn't need to pray no prayer. The only reason He was praying a prayer is He says it right at the onset of it. This is for all the folks that are standing around listening. He could have just walked right out there. He said, come on, Mary. Come on, Martha. Let's go get this done. Lazarus, come out of that grave. And Lazarus would have just come right out. Are y'all there? And the reason that Jesus could say, Lazarus, come out, and he came out of the grave is because He knew what was already on the inside of him. He knew there was anointing. He knew the power of God was there. And He knew if He spoke to a dead body, that dead body would get up and live. He knew it. He knew whenever He laid hands on Peter's mother-in-law that she was going to be able to go in and cook some good grits and cheese. He knew it. He knew it. We got to know it as well. And the only way that we're going to know it is if we're going to say it about ourselves. Peter and John expected people to receive from them because they knew the power of the Holy Spirit was in them. You see, they had had this upper room experience. They knew the power of the Holy Spirit was on the inside of them. If you knew and you believed what was in you, you would expect people to receive from you. That's why we got to say it. You see, this is a major league hoodwink that the enemy has portrayed on the body of Christ. He does not want us to get a hold of who we are. He doesn't want us to say who we are because there's so much power in our words. Jesus, in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, this is what Jesus said of Himself. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What did He say? He said, if anybody believes in me, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, is going to flow rivers of living water. But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Are you with me? Jesus is saying this. He's saying, guys, the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. And man, whenever He's in you, out of your heart, out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. John, Peter, James, they all got a hold of it. They go, man, we got the Holy Spirit. Living water is going to flow out of our innermost being. So this morning I got to ask you, do you believe in Jesus as the scriptures have said? Yes. Do you believe you've received the Holy Spirit? So many of us, yes. Do you believe that rivers of living water flow through you? He's a good Father. That's who He is. I'm a child of the Most High God. I am a chosen vessel that God has brought onto this earth so that I may minister to the brokenhearted, that I might bring freedom to the captives. That's who I am. Not because I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you believe the scriptures like they've been written about Jesus, and you believe that you've received the Holy Spirit, and you believe rivers of living water are flowing out of you, do you say it? When was the last time you said, there are rivers of living water flowing out of the innermost part of me? Do you fearlessly, courageously, cheerfully, boldly, audaciously say, rivers of living water flow out of my innermost being? I imagine if I got all of you up on your feet today and we just did a little exercise and all I wanted you to say is this, rivers of living water flow out of my innermost being, I bet I couldn't get you all to say it. Every one of us in unison, fearlessly, courageously, cheerfully, boldly, audaciously. Man, rivers of living water flow out of the innermost part of who I am because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of me. Do you believe you're anointed? Do you believe you've received power? Do you believe that you can cast out demons in Jesus' name? Do you believe if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover? Do you say it? Do you boldly say it? Jesus has given me power and authority over all the devils to cast them out and to heal any disease. Do you boldly say, greater is He that is on the inside of me than he that is on the world. Greater is He that is in me than diabetes and arthritis and cancer and heart trouble and kidney trouble and any kind of addiction or any kind of bondage or any kind of habit that anybody could have. Greater is He that is in me. Do you boldly say in the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He dwells inside of me and He quickens my mortal body? See, folks, I got to tell you, we look into the mirror and all we see is somebody he's overweight, got a little bit of gray, eyes begging. Oh my goodness, but man, there's so much more. And we got to start saying so much more about who we are. Do you ever say that Jesus has given me authority and power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy? Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. Do you boldly say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Do you boldly say, He has raised me up together with Him and made me to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Do you boldly say, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved me and gave Himself for me? Do you boldly say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Do you boldly say, I'm no longer just a servant, but now I am a son, a daughter of God? Do you say boldly that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law? Man, this list could have gotten so long today, folks. He has said so many things about who we are in Him. So many good things. Do we boldly, fearlessly, courageously, audaciously tell the devil, God has delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son? Man, you know where that's a good scripture to use is whenever you are tempted to do something that you shouldn't be doing. No, we're not going there. Because God has delivered me from the power of darkness and it has no hold on my life. Woo! Do you boldly say, The kingdom of God is in me now. Folks, I'm just telling you, this list could have got so long. I could have just filled page after page after page. Do you fearlessly and audaciously and boldly tell the devil, you are under my feet and defeated? I mean, folks, we got to start saying some of this stuff. We're just too quiet. We're just too reserved. We're just too proper. We're just too prim. I just want to be so mannerly. I wanted to say something. I want to throw all of my manners out whenever it comes to the darkness of this world. Come on. I don't want to be mannerly whenever there's somebody around me that is addicted to some kind of vile prescription or illegal drug and their mind is being blown every time they shoot it into their veins. Are you with me? I'm tired of being prim and proper. I'm going to start saying, man, the power of God resides on the inside of me. I have been sent to deliver you. Come on, church. And Satan, you are under my feet. You are under my feet. You are completely and totally defeated. Christ has dethroned you. He has disarmed you. He has destroyed your power. And he is alive on the inside of me. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think Satan cares one smidgen about how much you know. You can read the Bible from cover to cover. You can read every kind of help book. You can go to Dalton's and check out every book that they have and read through it. He doesn't care how much you know. It's what you boldly begin to say and do that sends shockwaves through hell. Man, whenever he starts seeing somebody say it and then somebody do it, folks, you got to understand, he gets nervous. I believe one of the most powerful weapons that we have against hell is kind of a secret weapon whenever it comes to most Christians. A secret weapon. It's secret because a lot of people just don't know that it's a weapon. But it's our mouth. It's our mouth. In Revelation 12, this is what it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Now, just to kind of take that scripture and pull it apart, the blood of the Lamb is what he has done for us, what he has done by the shedding of his blood. But the word of our testimony is what we say in agreement with God about what Jesus has done. That's the word of our testimony. See, if we get up and we testify, are you all with me? All we're doing is agreeing with what he's done through Jesus Christ inside of us. I testify to you today that I'm a blood-bought, spirit-filled, on my way to heaven, child of the Most High God. Are you all with me? I'm testifying to that this morning. That is what we overcome him with. And all I did whenever I testified is I just agreed with what God already did through Jesus Christ. This is what God says. He says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So I boldly say this. I am a believer. In Jesus' name, I have power and authority to cast out devils. I lay my hands on the sick. They shall recover. See, this morning I prayed before we started this message. I said, "Oh God, if we got ears, let us hear what you're saying to us." Because this sermon this morning is so much more than just something that we just hear with our ears. It's got to get into our spirits. See, our testimony, whenever we say, This is who we are in Christ Jesus. This is what we can do. I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do y'all realize what we're doing whenever we say that? We're just agreeing with God. God has already said that about you. He said, my precious child, this is who you are in me. This is who you are because the Spirit of Christ is in you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the you. And we just have to agree with Him. I think the reason why so many of us are not seeing this power is because we just don't agree with God. We're not saying what He said about us, what He said about us in Jesus Christ. I mean, in Amos 3:3, this is one of those scriptures that I've used 100 million times, and I've used it for premarital counseling. I've used it a whole lot. But in Amos 3:3 it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Pastor Rick and I have had a relationship for a long time, and one of the reasons why is because we agree on a lot of things. And we've played backgammon a few times where we didn't agree on everything. We ended up throwing all the chips in the floor and the dice, and the girls had to split us up, but it's only happened a couple of dozen times, but for the most part, you know, we agree on so many things. And so we've walked together for a lot of years. You get somebody that you don't agree with, and I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to walk too far with them before you're looking for somebody else to walk with. Come on. Because I don't like to walk with people that are disagreeable. I like beans. Well, I hate them. I hate Mexican food. I hate it. I hate it. I wouldn't eat Mexican food if it was all we had. Get away from me. See, folks, if we're going to walk with God, we got to agree with Him. And whenever we begin to agree with Him, something's going to have to come out of our mouth. Amen? We can't just sit there on this knowledge. We've got to begin to say it. We have to say what it is He says. If we want God to walk with us, we have to agree with Him. We have to say what He says. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. Whenever we boldly say what God says, this is what begins to happen. Faith comes alive. You realize in the Bible there's a whole lot of name changing going on? Somebody started out with one name and God changed their name to something else. You know, today we don't really put a whole lot of merit on what names mean anymore. We might go to a baby book and we look it up, and if it means something abominable, we won't name our child that. But if it means something, you know, okay, we'll just name them. But used to, there was a lot of emphasis put on what your name was. They wanted to name you a name that would fit you as you grew and matured. Abraham, the father of our faith, you realize he didn't start out as Abraham. He started out as Abram. And somewhere along the line, God changed his name to Abraham, and there was a specific meaning in that name. And that meaning was something that God was calling Abraham off, far off to. He says, man, this is who you're going to be, Abraham. So this is why I'm changing your name to Abraham, because every time you hear your name, it's going to point you forward to who it is that you are in me. Does that make sense? So every time Sarah would say, Abraham, come and take out the garbage, he heard who he was, who God had chosen him and made him to be, the father of many nations. That Abraham's seed would be so numerous that you couldn't count them. As numerous as the sand on the seashore, as numerous as the stars in the heaven, this is who you're going to be, Abraham. And every time you hear your name, I want you to know who you are in me, who I'm making you to be. See, that's why, folks, we need to hear it. I am a child of the Most High God. He has anointed me to preach good news. He has called me to lay hands on the sick that they may recover. to open blind eyes, to be more than a conqueror. He has called me to put the devil under my feet. Come on. He has raised me to the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. This morning, I'm just trying to talk us all into just agreeing with God. Because you are more than what you look like. You may be in this sanctuary and you're just a teenager. Just a goofy teenager. All teenagers are goofy, so don't get all upset with me. I was the only teenager. I was goofy. But you don't realize what God has dropped in you. The eternal seed of God. He may be raising you to do great things in His kingdom that you could never in your wildest dreams ever put your head around, but yet you are the one He has chosen to do that. But the only way you'll ever fulfill the plan of God in your life is if you can believe who it is you are in Christ Jesus. And your name, Dalton, that's insignificant. It's just old Dalton. It's just old Preston. It's just Morgan. Your names don't mean a whole lot here on this earth, but what God has called you means everything. He's wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. The Creator. The Word. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The great morning star. He's all of those things that we celebrate. That's who our Jesus is. But you are more than you look like this morning. And I challenge you to find these places in the Word of God and begin to speak them in your life. I am blessed. I am the head and not the tail.